Good morning. As I said a second ago, my name's Rob Schaefer. I'll be stepping in for Curtis while he is recovering from a triple bypass.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Curtis is not old enough to have a triple bypass, but I guess he, well, it happened. As a way of introduction, I spent 36 years to the day at Merrill Lynch. I retired on my 36th anniversary. I spent the first 12 years in production and the rest of the time in management. In the last 3 years, I managed the Nashville and the Memphis offices and worked for Rob Knapp. So I worked for Rob as Supernova was developed. So I know the program from a practical point of view and also from a theoretical point of view. I listened to the recording of your last call. Is there anything any of you would like to discuss from that call or anything else before I get started?
I don't think so. I think just following along the material, we're all caught up.
Well, that's really good. To be honest, a lot of people aren't caught up at this stage. Congratulations. This is the first week of official acquisition. I know Curtis has talked with you about a couple of things. I know you've talked about the enthusiastically endorsed question, but I want to start today with what I think is the easiest and the easiest way to get into referral discussions. Before I dive into that, Ira, is do you get a lot of referrals? I know you've been doing this for a while. I would imagine you get a lot of referrals.
We do. We do ongoing and have for a very long time and consistently so.
Are those? I mean, they all count. Are they mainly solicited or unsolicited referrals?
They're mostly unsolicited, though the biggest ones have been solicited.
Okay, and is that something that you think the team does on a consistent basis, get into referral discussions?
What do you mean?
You say you get a lot of referrals. Some of them, a lot of them are unsolicited. Is that pretty much through the team that people are getting into referral, FAs are getting into referral discussions on a regular basis?
Yeah, oh, very much so. Yes.
Terrific. Terrific. All right. Let me start with the VIPSA conversation. The first part of the VIPSA conversation came from a gentleman named Bill Cates, who has written several books, does a lot of work in the referral area. I got to spend some time 10, 15 years ago with him. I found him to be very, very good at what he does. Let me just walk through what the VIPSA strategy is. If you would take a piece of paper, I think it enables you to see it a little better, and just write these letters vertically. V I P S and A. Now let me tell you what each of those stand for. The V is value. And I'll come back to each of these. The I stands for importance. The P stands for permission. The S stands for suggest. And then the final, the A, is advice. So value, importance, permission, suggest, and advice. We think the very best time to start a referral discussion is when the value is given by you and it's recognized by the client. That's a compliment. When somebody recognizes your value, we think that's as good as it gets to starting a referral discussion. It could be as simple as, Ira, I really appreciate how you guided me through last December when every bone in my body said on Christmas Eve, we want to get out. I'm making that up, but that's an example of value. When clients recognize value, if you only do one thing, it's confirmed that you heard it. FAs, again, all I've got is my experience. FAs are really good about deflecting compliments. Hey, Ira, you've done a great job. Well, that's just what we do. No, that when somebody gives you a compliment, you have to validate it. You have to let them know that you heard it. Ms. Jones, I really appreciate your saying that. Our team works really hard to provide that level of guidance. So when somebody gives you a referral, the most important thing, if you do nothing else, is to confirm that you heard it. And you confirm what they've complimented you on. If they are recognizing value, or they say, hey, Ira, I really appreciate the service that your team provides. Thank you for saying that, Ms. Jones. We work really hard to provide that level of service. So you confirm back to the client what they've complimented you on. That make sense, Ira?
Totally.
All right. Now let's go to the next one, importance. You've got to ask confidently. You've got to show the client that it's important to you. And what that might look like is folks who don't get in referral discussions very often almost apologize when they get into it. Ms. Jones, I know I've never asked you this before. I hope you don't. Blah, blah, blah. No, ask confidently. The longer you're in this business, the more you understand that if something is important to you, clients really listen. I told the story earlier today. When I was in Baltimore, I had a really good FA, and this was back before the managed money. It was building positions, and she called this client, and it got about halfway through her pitch on this idea, and he stopped her and said, Pat, you're really not excited about this, are you? And Pat says, well, I like it, but no, I'm not really excited. He said, call me back when you got something you're really excited about. Now, that she was not asking with confidence. So when you get into these referral discussions, you start them with confidence. So here we go. I really appreciate the service your team provides. Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. We work really hard to provide that level of service. Now you get into the discussion. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that type of service? And the client, you ask confidently. The client can feel that. And here, clients, she might say no. Gosh, I can't think of anybody. And then you go to the next step, which is permission. And that's you ask the client if they would engage more around this discussion. Do you have a minute? You're asking for permission to brainstorm or whatever words you might want to use. She's just complimented you. She's liked you. Chances are in a practice like yours, they've been on the books for a while. You say, well, is there anybody that you play golf with, anybody you travel with, anybody you know who's retiring, whatever. And she may draw a blank again. She's not saying she doesn't want to introduce you to someone. She's just drawing a blank. Clients don't wake up in the morning wondering how they're going to give a referral to the Cohen team. They got lives also. So we've gone through this value, importance. You've asked confidently. You've asked for permission to take it a little bit further. And then you've suggested, and she still says no because she's drawing a blank. Here, that can get uncomfortable for some FAs. I've gotten two no's in a row. Why did I ever get into this conversation? And the way you extricate yourself from that conversation is, thanks for thinking about it. Just know our team is never too busy to help people like you. And what Bill Cates calls that is planting a seed. Now, I worked with a UBS FA in Lexington, Kentucky, doing a little over $1 million, single practitioner, and he had like 30 clients. He started a referral conversation with one of those 30, and she kind of held up her hand and said, Harry, I didn't know you took new business. Now, for those of us on this call, that's hard to imagine. But again, people aren't always thinking about helping us grow the practice. So at least you've planted a seed. Ms. Jones, thanks for thinking about it. Just know we're never too busy to help people like you. That makes sense, folks?
You bet.
All right, now let me go through it quickly again. And it starts with value. Ira, thank you for guiding me over the last 10 years. I'm a lot better off because you've been my advisor. Well, Ms. Jones, I really appreciate your saying that. We work really hard to provide that level of guidance. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that kind of guidance? Well, Ira, I'm kind of drawing a blank. Well, you have a minute to brainstorm. Sure. Well, anybody you come across who you work with, you play golf with, who you travel with, anybody like that, somebody you know who might be retiring? No, I can't think of anybody. Well, thanks for thinking about it. Just know our team is never too busy to help people like you. Now, the assumption I'm making to make that last statement is your clients already know what your minimum is, so they're not going to send you people who you don't want. Almost everybody's gotten that $35,000 referral, and you don't want to seem impolite or not grateful. When people know your minimum, those things don't happen. Now, I've gone through this FIPSA conversation, and I've assumed that Ms. Jones in this example has drawn a blank twice and hasn't come up with anybody. So let's assume you go to the value, you ask confidently, Ms. Jones, you know anyone else who might appreciate the level of service you get from us? And Ms. Jones says, I can't believe you're asking me this. I was having lunch with my best friend the other day after we played tennis, and she was just whining about the service she's getting from Merrill Lynch. Now, here's the next thing that usually comes out of that Ms. Jones' mouth. I'll have her call you. That's like the kiss of death. I don't know about you all, but that call very seldom comes. So when Ms. Jones in this conversation, after you start the referral conversation, says, yeah, you really need to talk to my brother-in-law. What we suggest comes out of your mouth is, terrific. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him? You're not looking for names. You can get names off the internet. What you're looking for is favorable introductions. You really need to talk to my brother-in-law. Ira's response, terrific. We'd love to do that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him? As she may ultimately say, well, Ira, it's really going to be best for you to have him call you. Well, you've got to accept that. You're not going to pound her. You've got to accept it, but you're going to be there anyway. It's like a riskless transaction, asking how you best could get in front of them. So that's the A in the VIPSA script. That's the advice. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him? Any comments?
No, we get it. We get it.
All right, good. Good. You obviously do. All right. That thing about advice, that question on advice can be used a lot. You don't have to go through this VIPSA conversation to have a client say, you need to talk to my dentist. He really needs some help. And you say immediately, terrific. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him? Let the client help you toward a favorable introduction. What I would challenge you to do, well, let me back up a little. That's our script. What we find most effective is to use our script, our ideas, and put it in your words. We don't you know, you talk differently in Bakersfield and in, as individually than you do in Nashville. Just want to put it into your words. So I would challenge you to be on the lookout for people who are offering value or recognizing value. It happens more than you think. Now, I wouldn't suggest you have this conversation around, at least around the VIPSA, until you practice it. It just, I mean, I can say it eyes closed. I can start in the middle, start in the end, and work backwards, whatever. I want you all to just, it's part of your, it be part of your toolbox. Now, one other thing is that it's around referrals. Do you all track the referral conversations that you have?
What does that mean?
Here's what I'm going to send you: a very simple, low-tech way to track referrals. We think it's important that you know where you are having referral conversations with every one of your clients. When you are, FAs go into meetings and they're prepared to talk about the both sides of the balance sheet. FAs are prepared. But what they don't have as a front of mind experience is referral conversations. So what I would like for you to be able to do is open your client folder and know exactly the last time you had a referral discussion with this client and what the result was. We think you can ask too often. And just if every time you meet with a client, you're going after them for a referral, it comes across, in our opinion, as a little bit insincere, and you're worried more about your practice than about their performance or the guidance they're getting. So I want you to be able to open that folder and say, okay, on 5/2, I had a VIPSA conversation with Ms. Jones, and then there's the result, because I always want you to be able to follow up. If Ms. Jones, for example, said you need to talk to her brother, you've got it logged in there. You've never talked to the brother. It enables you to say, Ms. Jones, when we met back in March, you brought up your brother as someone we should talk with. We haven't been able to touch base with him, or we haven't heard from him. Well, how would you recommend getting in front of him? So it just enables you to complete the process. If you open a client folder and it's Snow White, I mean, there's nothing anywhere, then that's an indication that probably is an opportunity. What I'll send you is a very simple sheet that, if you will put it in your folder, review it when you sit down with clients or when you're scheduled to talk to clients. I think you'll be more likely to notice an opportunity to have a referral discussion. And again, it enables you to follow up. If somebody said they were going to put you in front of their dentist and they never have, you can follow up and see where that stands. Make sense?
Yeah, sort of.
What about that doesn't make sense to you?
I don't like the folder system. I do it differently. I keep track. I have a separate list of people that are on my list of people I'm talking to about referrals, and I just kind of track them as an entity unto themselves, not a client by client, but I have a master list of people that I'm talking to.
And clients who are putting you in front of people, or folks who are prospects?
Well, just a list of people that I'm talking to about referrals, or referrals specifically that I'm working on. But I just keep them as a separate entity, like a separate folder of potential referrals.
Okay. Is this Ira talking?
Yes, sir.
Ira, you told me you get referrals on a regular basis.
Yes, sir.
And, the last thing I'm going to say to you is stop what you're doing immediately.
I'm not going to stop what I'm doing, whether you tell me to or not, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, the value in what I'm suggesting is in addition to what's already working. If you see somebody who has you haven't had a referral conversation with in the last year, it gives you a chance to think about it. Maybe you haven't had a referral discussion because they're not good candidates because of age or whatever. I understand it. It's working. I think it could augment what you're doing if you track this on a client by client basis. However, you would do that. I don't care if you're using the folder system or not. I just think it's an opportunity. All right.
Sure.
All right. Second, I'm looking at some notes here. All right. Has Curtis talked to you about another of? Well, let me do something else. I'm not going to have time to do this. Let me make another suggestion. Do you have a have you put together a one page overview of your practice?
What sense are you looking for with the one page overview? Are you looking?
Well, here's what we have found effective is for you to have a one page overview of what you do of your practice.
For clients?
No. This is you use it with a prospect, you use it with a client. But I'll send you a template for this also. It's very effective in getting out the message you want to get out. And it's very simple. There's a brief description of the folks in your team. And then underneath that are bullet points with three headings. The first heading is basic beliefs. You're getting to know let's use it with a prospect or a center of influence. Here are my basic beliefs, and that's where you would put something along the lines of the client's interests come first. Basic beliefs of your team. The second heading is what clients can expect from you. If you do monthly scheduled calls, like I know Curtis has talked with you about, what can a client expect? Regularly scheduled contact, monthly contact. And then the last one, which I think is all these are important, but what you expect of clients. Ira, have you ever told a client what you expect of them?
I don't know. From what standpoint? Tell me.
Just do you expect them to update you if there are any material changes in their financial condition? Do you expect them to keep scheduled appointments? Things like that. I mean, you've gotten to the stage in your career where you don't have to. You're not the utility company. You don't have to run wire to everybody. You get to choose who you want in your practice. Agreed?
Well, I talk to people if things are not going the way I think they ought to, but I think there's an expectation that they will, and they almost always do. So, I mean, I think, if something's not working well, I would certainly make that a point of discussion, but... telling somebody, what my expectations are for at day one, I don't know. I'm not sure I'd be comfortable with that, but I would certainly let them know if it wasn't working out the way I thought it would.
Well, picture this. Do you have people who are pretty, do you have a CPA who refers to you or an estate planning attorney who refers to you on a pretty regular basis?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. You want them to be able to specifically describe what you do. You want to give them the ammunition to really sell who you are. This is Ira Cohen. Here's what his team looks like. Here are his basic beliefs. Here's what clients can expect from that team. And here is what he expects from his clients. I don't want it to sound arrogant. It's not meant to be. It's just a fact that... If you tell if you say this is what I expect from clients, you're telling them you don't take everybody in a very polite way. So let me send you an idea of what that might look like. It's an effective tool. My daughter sells real estate in Nashville. Things are booming in Nashville. I worked with her putting one of these together for one of her clients. He used it to give to somebody else who's moving to town. Now she's working with that person. I think if you see it, it would be take a look at it. Okay. I think it's effective. You all are doing things are working for you. As I said a minute ago, this isn't about blowing something up and starting all over again. So the two things that I'm going to send you, the referral tracking document where you track clients by individually around referrals, and I'll send you a template of what the practice overview looks like. Okay. Good?
Sure.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think we're done talking. I got somebody waiting for me out in the lobby.
Well, I will say thanks for your time. Appreciate good to talk with you. Depending on Curtis's health, we may talk again.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, folks.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.